Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I've just come to a place that anybody who will kill a child in their mother's womb has no right to criticize me over anything I eat or wherever I go or however I do anything. That's just absolutely wrong. And I'm preaching to the choir right here, but you know what? I say these same things on television, so it's not like I just say this in a protected environment. We are the light of the world, and God intended us to set that light up on a pedestal so that it could give light to people. And the way that we see the world going today is a reflection of the fact that we haven't been establishing the agenda. We haven't been saying what's right and wrong, and so they got to be passionate about something. And so they come up and start banning this and banning that and doing things that are just silly. It's just silly. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and let me continue this and share some things this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I wish I had more time to put all of this into its context, but in verse 6, he says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." You know, there is a right and a wrong way to minister the word. And even when you start talking about moral values and rights and wrongs, you can become condemning and mean-spirited about this. And I'm trying to avoid doing that. That's not what I'm talking about. But there still are absolutes. And even though we minister in love, you need to tell a person the truth in love. And so this is talking about that we are ministers of the Spirit and not of the letter of the law. In verse 7 it says, "For if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" You know, there's a lot that I could teach through here, but here's the point I'm wanting to talk about. Moses, just think about how glorious it was with Moses. Think of the power of God that was manifest through Moses and how he affected his generation. And yet, everything that Moses had and the glory and the power and the anointing that was on Moses is insignificant compared to what you and I have as believers. That glory was to pass away. You know, many of us look back and think, oh man, if I could have been there at the crossing of the Red Sea, or if I could have been with Moses, or if I could have been with Elijah, or if I could have been with David when he slew Goliath, and boy, I'd be a believer and I'd be strong. Did you know that the scripture over in 2 Peter says that these people searched earnestly, asking God what manner of time that you and I lived in, because they longed for the day that you and I have. What we have is greater than what any of these people had. Another scripture goes along with that is Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. And he said, "I tell you, among them that have been born of women, there has never been a greater than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if you are the least in the kingdom of God, you are greater than John the Baptist." That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. If you think you're the sorriest saint in this room, you're greater than John the Baptist, therefore greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than any of these. Can you see Moses and Elijah and David whining and griping about the problems the way that some of us do? Can you see them approaching their problems? You know, I dealt with one woman last night who I kept telling her God was setting her free. And no, isn't it? Can you imagine Moses responding that way and just saying, "It's impossible, I can't get free"? Bible says if you are the least saint, you are greater than all of these. The point I'm trying to bring out through this is that the Lord said we are salt and we are light. But you know what? Many of us don't realize who we are and what we have. Just like this. Most of us would want to have the power and the authority of Moses. We would love to do that. We would love to see the same anointing on us as on Elijah. And so they have services, you know, about the double portion night where Elisha got twice the anointing of Moses. And so they have a double portion night and they come and bring you an oil from the Holy Lands and they're going to anoint you and your anointing is going to increase twice. You know, that's fine under the Old Testament, but under the New Testament, you already have the fullness of Christ living on the inside of you bodily. And you can't get twice of everything. This whole concept of I only have a tiny bit, no, I wish I could have a double portion. You don't need that. What we need is to realize what we already have. And that's what these verses are saying. Moses, man, what he had, as glorious as it was, all that passed away. And what you and I have is much, much, much greater. And you know what? We just don't realize that. And so we're going through life. We're being intimidated by unbelievers. We're being intimidated by political incorrectness. And they are sitting here and we're afraid to stand up and say things. And we just don't realize what we have. Can you see Moses responding to things the way that you and I are? And yet what we've got is greater than what he's got. Could you see Elijah who walked right up to the king and said, thus saith the Lord, there won't be rain in this land for years until I say so. And yet we're afraid to stand up at work because somebody might say something if we are voting for a certain issue. And we wouldn't stand up and say that because somebody might criticize us. It might polarize people, might cause problems. We just don't realize what we've got. And that's what these verses are talking about. I really am trying to get into the fourth chapter, so let me just skip down. In verse 16 it says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, talking about their heart, this veil, this blindness that was over the nation of Israel would be taken away when they turned away from the law and looked into the grace of God. And it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, if you were to go back and study this and take it in context, it's talking about Moses, that he had to put a veil over his face because he was actually radiating the life of God. And it says, brothers and sisters, we aren't supposed to have a veil over our face. We got a new covenant now. Moses had to hide the glory of God, and it was hidden in a sense behind this veil. But you and I are supposed to be taking the veil off. We are supposed to be letting this light that God has put on the inside of us shine out, and it should be affecting people. It should be influencing our world. Man, everywhere that we go, down here to fill up with gas or whatever you're doing, you ought to be speaking forth the glory of God and talking about the things of God. And it says, we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This isn't talking about that we go from glory to glory and we get progressively bigger and better and greater and stuff. It's talking about that we go from that Old Testament glory, which was done away with in Christ. Now we are living under the glory of God that indwells us. We went from the Old Testament way of doing things into this New Testament reality. It isn't talking about a progressive thing. I believe you could make a point for that other places that we are growing and releasing the glory of God more and more. But this is talking about that we have left this Old Testament glory, which was shielded and hidden from people. And now we are the light of the world. And we are supposed to be revealing this light to people. In chapter 4 it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Boy, that's a mouthful, and this is something that is not done very often today. It says that he has renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Did you know that really? And again, I'm saying this in love. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but you've got to see the problem before you're going to want to fix it. Change anything. Actually, most of us are living a dishonest life. There's things going on around you at work, family, friends, neighbors, just in our world. There are things going around and your spirit's grieved at it. When you hear these things, it grieves you. And yet many of us bite our lip and don't say things. You know what that is? That's dishonest. It's not being genuine. Paul was saying, as ministers, and we are all ministers, whether you make your living, whether you get paid for it full time or not, every one of you are a minister. You are the salt and the light, and you're supposed to be out here representing God to this world. And we have to renounce these hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. There's a lot of Christians that are trying to trick people, sneak up on them. You know, in churches, this is probably one of the things that I get confronted with the most. People hear me teach on the grace of God, and they say, man, this isn't what I hear in my church. And I say, well, why are you in that church? Oh, well, I'm here to change them. I believe God has put me here, and I'm praying for them, and I'm going to change this church. And you know, one of the things I tell people all of the time, I've pastored 3 churches. They were small churches. But I said, it takes a miracle for a pastor to turn a church around. I said, it's an absolute miracle for a pastor to get people on the same page and going in the same direction and really flowing in the power of the Holy Ghost. I can guarantee you, as Joe Blow believer, sitting in the church are not going to change the church. All you're going to do is sow discord. You're going to be sitting there countering the pastor and doing things. People would be better off to be in unity going in the wrong direction than to have somebody sitting there and sowing strife and discord and letting this stuff come in. You aren't going to sit there and just sneak up on people. You aren't. That's not the way that God wants you to do it. I mean, if you really believe that you're called to a church, and if you really believe that God wants you to speak out and be the light and the salt, well, then do it without dishonesty, without craftiness. Just be blunt. Just stand up and say, it's not true that miracles passed away with the apostles. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is still real, and I speak in tongues. Would you like to hear? And you know what? If they receive it, well, then wonderful. I'll come over to your side. But if they kick you out, then go someplace where you can get in agreement with their vision. But I tell you what, there's so many people that are trying to sneak up on their church and sneak up on people. And it reminds me of Amway, where you invite them over. The truth is they've got a hook. They're trying to hook you. It's deceptive.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I'd like to encourage you to go visit our website. And I tell you, we have one of the most powerful websites of anything I've ever seen. I get comments about how user-friendly it is. I have hundreds of my teaching available for free downloads. And there's literally been people's lives saved by having all of this teaching material available to them free of charge. We have our Living Commentary there. I have about, I think it's 8 years or more of our television programs that you can view right there on the website. We have about 10 or 11 years worth of my radio programs there. It's just a wealth of information, so please join us at awmi.net.